Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. As a sports fan, there's a sentiment I hear a little too often for my tastes, especially when it comes from the losing locker room. After taking the long journey of a season with a team I love to follow, and they lose a big game in the playoffs or maybe even in the championship series, I'm never happy when I hear coming from that loser's locker room, whether it comes from the captain of the team or a coach, something along this line. This is an actual quote. Yep, losing this big one is pretty tough. But there is so much here we can build on. We'll build on this and come back even better and stronger. I, for one, want to respond, yeah, you better. Otherwise, you're going to be standing in the same place next year or even further back in the standings at the end of the season, and you won't have built on anything. I much prefer to hear such talk from the champions' locker room, especially, of course, if it's a team I love. Don't you like to hear the champs saying something like this? We are happy to have won, but we know we haven't reached our full potential yet. Winning is awesome, but I believe we can build on this and be even better. Now that is music to this fan's ears. Christ's victory was complete over 2,000 years ago. And yet again tonight, we have read all about it. We have sung about it. We have praised our God for it. It is Jesus' victory parade. And it never fades in glory. It never weakens with time. For over 2,000 years, believers have celebrated the ultimate proof that Jesus was everything he said he was and his disciples believed him to be, and what we needed him to be. Our Creator God lived a human life. He struggled with human temptation and a human nature. Made it through all of that fierce battle undefeated, only to offer that perfect, flawless life into death. And after his resurrection, he appeared to his disciples to prove that everything he had said about himself and everything they believed about him was true. Then he did the unexpected. But when you and I think about it a bit, the entirely logical, without shedding his human nature, now glorified through death and resurrection, he ascended bone and skin and brain and soul to the throne of heaven, still as human as you and I, yet glorified, our brother ruling the universe. We have a timeless eternal victor pulling the levers of the universe for the good of those who will live with him forever. Now that is a victory you can build on. Do you remember what we read Paul praying over us just a few moments ago from Ephesians? I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul prayed for you and me that we would fully realize what Christ's ascension means for each of us. Paul encourages us here to build on Christ's ascension. And build we can. What do you want to build first? How about the hope of unconditional forgiveness and acceptance? Done. You won't find that anywhere else. You won't find that as a reality in any other relationship you engage in. Sooner or later, there is always a consequence, always a price to pay in every other human relationship, one way or another. But your God, what He wants you to know about Him most is His desire to embrace you as you are, knowing that you're undeserving, knowing that you have failed Him, knowing that there isn't the slightest possibility that you could ever live up to His expectations. He loves you anyway. He's proven that. He's proven that in the interaction with His disciples and the believers of all time, as the Scriptures present them to us as broken sinners like the rest of us. The only difference, their reliance on God's promises, on God's willingness to brush away our sins, to remove them completely from His memory banks. That's no simple, easy thing. I don't have to ask how many of us in this room, without knowing what the answer will be, can remember, certainly the name, maybe even the look on the face of the person we would label having done the most dastardly sinful thing to us in our lives. It's impossible to forget. And yet, we're told so often in the Scriptures that God doesn't just say it's okay. Rather, He placed Himself in our situation, became our substitute, went through that whole process of becoming human and living and dying and rising and facing every one of those temptations so that you would have the perfect answer, the perfect payment for every last one of your sins. And wrapped in that righteous perfection, He sees nothing but His own dear child made holy through the bloody death and sacrifice of His Son, washed clean in a bath of promise, now embraced and welcome in His sight forever. On Christ's ascension, you can build your hope of unconditional forgiveness and acceptance. How about absolute certainty that death is not the end of your existence? Done. Jesus had the ability to say the most outrageous things, didn't He? And yet, He could actually make them happen. He told a woman walking at the front of her only son's funeral procession, a widow at that, "Stop crying." He walked under Jairus' roof after telling the professional mourners, "No need to be crying, she's only sleeping." They all laughed at Him. And poor Martha, she could never just quite get it right, could she? Her Lord is walking to her dearly beloved brother's grave. And when He asks for that stone to be rolled away, she says, "Stop, Jesus." Not realizing what He was about to do. "I don't want to smell that decomposing body, Jesus. Please don't open that grave." Jesus brushes her aside and tells her to wait to see the glorious things that God can do with the Word. When Jesus speaks the powerful word of life, "Dead, breathe again, walk again, live again. But it wasn't just during his ministry here on earth. Turn back the pages of Scripture to the old. Turn ahead to the epistles of the new. And you will find prophet and apostle both able, simply with the powerful, life-giving word, to speak by God's direction and God's promise through the power of the Spirit. And the dead breathe again. But if that's not enough proof for you that you can build your hope of a life that exists after this death, Jesus himself, he said it and he did it. He said it to his disciples. He said it to his enemies. He said it in so many contexts to so many different people in so many different ways. And yet, on Easter morning, the angels had to remind those who came to the tomb, you're looking in the wrong place. You're looking for the living among the dead. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. No one else can keep a promise like Jesus. No one else can look you in the eye and tell you that you don't need to fear death, that death is but a doorway through which you will walk into a new life, a better life. On Christ's ascension, you can build absolute certainty that death is not the end of your existence. So how about eternal life with God in a brand new heaven and earth? Done. Do you think it was only Jesus during his ministry who spoke of these realities? When you hear the scholars of today try to convince you that the resurrection, that an eternal heavenly home is a New Testament invention long after Jesus lived and died, don't believe them for a second. You turn the pages back to what is clearly the oldest of the books of the Bible as far as the time period in which they present to us truth. And it is Job. Thousands of years before Jesus arrived here on this earth, he put a voice and words to what every human heart longed for. That simple truth. That long after this body will be destroyed, will return to the dust of the earth. Yet with these eyes, resurrected, glorified, I will see my Redeemer and my Lord to live with him forever. Fast forward to the very last pages of Scripture, the revelation of St. John, that present to us the last of all the words inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by the direct guiding of the Spirit as the inspired historical word, and find amazing truths there about a new city, a new Jerusalem, a brilliant, shining, holy, perfect place coming down out of heaven from God. And who will welcome you into that new life, that new existence, that eternal perfection? It will be your Savior. And with his embrace, he will wipe every tear from your eyes, every memory of sorrow or pain or suffering, of the broken realities of this world in all of their violence and disappointment. There will also no longer be hunger or thirst Never too hot, never too cold. No mourning, no crying, no pain. For death and all of its twisted companions will be gone. It presents it so simply that most of the rest of the world throughout history has just walked by these promises with a shrug, with a too good to be true stamp of disapproval. But you have come here this night to celebrate, to revel in, to acknowledge and proclaim a victory that is yours, proven by the ascension of our victor to heaven's holy throne. On Christ's ascension, you can build the hope of an eternal life with God and a new heaven and a new earth. And you can build that today, every day. Yes, we celebrate this marvelous moment, this occasion, every year on the 40th day after Easter, on a Thursday evening as the sun sets. But there is not one thing, not one little thing that is keeping you from a mindset of building on Christ's victorious ascension every single day of the rest of your life. Week after week after week, we confess these truths, this victory, this ascension in the words of the creeds we speak in worship. Why not make it a daily confession? Christ is on his heavenly throne. He is my victor over sin and death and has given me certainty of forgiveness and eternal life. If that reality is not something that you consciously think about every single day, why not? And why not start right now? There can be no better day to start than Ascension Day. Build by reading this word. Build by receiving the sacrament often. Build by daily honest conversation with your God, acknowledging your sins, accepting his forgiveness and his unconditional love, and expressing your desire to live victoriously under your ascended Lord until he comes to take you on that journey that you have longed for your entire existence, that journey you so long to take, your own ascension to the eternal life built upon the victory that Jesus has won for you. On Christ's ascension, you absolutely can build. Amen.